Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be back on our broadcast for our study in the Word of God. I just give God all praise and all glory on tonight. I magnify his holy name tonight. I give God reverence and honor. I just give God all the praise and all the glory tonight. I'm sorry, everybody. Just going through some stuff right here. I just magnify his holy name on tonight. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion, a song of scripture and a prayer on tonight, and then we're going to start reading the Word of God. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 145. I extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. In me it shall speak of the might of thy terror act. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memories of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thy name. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. I have just read you from Psalms 145, from the first verse down to the 12th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song right here.
Amazing grace shall always be my soul of faith. Oh, it was great, divine, my liberty. That's what my tears are down.
Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come tonight, God, just confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come tonight humbly before your throne, God, just thanking you and praising you for this opportunity, God, to study your word, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you tonight, God, to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister and teach us tonight, God. Open up our understanding tonight. Open up our hearts tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, just give us an understanding, God, in the name of Jesus, of your word, God. And you say study to show yourself approved, Father. We're studying, God, and we need you to help us, Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless their families, God. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Do it for us tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. And I bind the strong man, God. I bind up the strong man tonight. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled right now in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus from our lives and from this radio broadcast. Father, we thank you for each and every one tonight. And bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask all these things for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening. It's just a blessing to be here on tonight. I give God the glory. I give him praise on tonight. God is a good God, hallelujah, and he's so worthy. God is so worthy. God is so worthy to be praised. I just thank and praise him on tonight. I'm going to get ready to start reading from Joshua chapter 17. Let me get it back. I surely turned it. Joshua chapter 17. We have 17 and 18 on tonight. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead. He was a man of war. Therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh, but by their families, for the children of Abazar and for the children of Helek and for the children of Azrael and for the children of Shechem and for the children of Hefer, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Chor, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Malah, and Noah, Hoglah, Melkah, and Terzan. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their fathers. And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of Jordan. Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead, and the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah that lies before Shechem, and the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of Entapapu. Now, Manasseh, the land of Tapapu, but Tapapu on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim in the coast descending into the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoing of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Bethshan in her town, and Ibalim in her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor in her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor in her towns, and the inhabitants of Tanach in her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo in her towns, even these countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants of Mount Ephraim, be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to the Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Amen.
Chapter 18. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and their house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. You shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away. And Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lot for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their division. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the earth on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho, and went up through the mountains westward, and the going out thereof were at the wilderness of Bethaven. And the border went over from thence toward Luz to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward, and the border descended to Ataroth Adar near the hill that lies on the south side of the nether Beth Horon. And the border was drawn thin and compassed the corner of the sea southward from the hill that lies before Beth Horon southward. And the going out thereof were at Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath Jearim, and the border went out on the west and went out to the well of water of Naphtoah. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants of the north, on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of Jebusi on the south, and descended to Enrogel, and was drawn from the north and went forth to Eshemesh, and went forth toward Galilee, which is over against the going up of Adamon, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Araba northward, and went down unto Araba, and the border passed along the side of Beth-Hogla northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the South Sea, at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast, and Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin. By the coast thereof, round about, according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho and Beth-Hogla and the valley of Kizat and Beth Horeba and Zimmaram and Bethel and Avin and Para and Ophra and Shephar Hayemaneh and Ophni and Gaba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah and Beera and Mizpah and Shephera and Moza and Rakim and Arpil and Taralah and Zila, Eloth and Jebusi, which is Jerusalem, Gabith and Kerjath, 14 cities that their villages, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is good. This is really good. And I mean, it's a lot of names in there that we're trying to pronounce, but that we're not gonna worry about that. So in chapter 17, what did the house of Joseph complain about the land that was allotted to them? What was the complaint about?
Verse 14, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto?
Yeah. Okay, let me see. Okay, he says, what did the house of Joseph complain about the land that was allotted to them? And you see it, 14, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why has thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? And you're right, it wasn't big enough. It wasn't enough land. It wasn't enough land. For as much as the Lord have blessed me hitherto, it wasn't enough. It wasn't big enough for them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't big enough for them. So number B, why did Joshua? What did Joshua tell them?
Verse 17. He was telling them that they were a great people. And that he did have more land for them, but I think what he was telling them was that they had to, he wasn't just going to give it to them, that they had to work for the land, because he wanted them to go, like, into the mountain area where it was wooded, where they had to cut down the trees to make it. So I don't think he was just, I think he was telling him and to go down there and cut down the mountainous area where the Canaanites were to drive them out. I think he was just trying to tell them that it wasn't just going to be, you know, like laid in their hand, that they had to, like, work for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm right, but that's what I got from it.
Well, you know what? That's a good answer. That's about right. But in all, they were still scared of the Canaanites. That's what Prophet Sadler was saying, that they were afraid of the Canaanites that was there. And Joseph told them to cut down all the trees and expand their territories and to drive out the Canaanites, but they were afraid of the Canaanites. And you're right, it's in Joshua 17 and 18. Let's see. Yep. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. And so they was great, and it was many of them, but they was afraid of the Canaanites. They were afraid of the Canaanites. Let's go on to 18 so we can discuss this stuff, because it's a lot to discuss in these two things. Okay. How many tribes remain to receive land? It should have been in the beginning of 18.
Verse 2, seven tribes. Mm-hmm. They were to divide the land into seven parts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It was seven tribes. So in... First of all, do we know who Manasseh was? Who was Manasseh? Okay. Who was Manasseh? Okay. Manasseh was the first. Huh?
Was it a tribe?
No, it was a tribe, but who was Manasseh? He was a person. And I just want to let you all know a lot of the tribes are named after them.
Manasseh and Ephraim were the two sons of Joseph and the grandsons of Jacob, and they received part of the inheritance that Joseph would have received. So they received Joseph's inheritance.
Okay. Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn.
In addition to Joseph.
Right. Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn. Amen. Okay. So that was the first thing. They was given the tribe of Manasseh and two others, their lot.
Was
so,
he the,
huh?
Was he the, no, that might be wrong, making the king of Judah?
No, Manasseh
was Joseph's firstborn.
Is that the one you're talking about? Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn. He was Joseph's firstborn. But what happened was, it was Manasseh and Ephraim. But when Jacob, like Prophet Harris was saying, when Jacob blessed, they usually blessed the oldest son. But their mom took, or whatever happened, he grabbed and got Ephraim and blessed him. That's what it was. He grabbed and got the baby boy and blessed Ephraim. I mean, he still blessed Manasseh, but he blessed Ephraim first. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make a lot of difference. Uh-huh. So, and he was a man of war and the father of Gilead and Bashan. And they had children after that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say the most important, but what did Zophar had, the son of Hefer, have? What did he have? And I think it was in 17. It's in chapter 17. I'm just trying to, because one course not enough. So we need to try to get more out of this than we're getting. Zophar, hey, I'm trying to find the.
Are you saying, do he, like, as far as children?
He had five daughters and no sons.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it almost sounds like the land was named after its owner, the tribe, the lot. To me, that's what it sounds like. That's why everything is sounding so funny, because everything is named after, because I've seen something said Issachar, the land of Issachar, and those are names of people.
Hmm.
Why did the children, what did the children of Joseph like to do? What did they, and I didn't write notes because I was studying and reading. And I'm not going to ask you questions. I'm just going to talk about it and just let you know what it was. The children of Joseph, like the quarrel, because they didn't like the lot that he had given them. But it had already been decided by God. It already had been decided by God. And the reason why Joshua was who he was and how God was using him, because he didn't back down. He treated them with a firmness. He stood on what God told him. He had compassion for them, but he was firm with them. You're going to either cut this wood, these trees, or you're going to sit up here and you're going to have nowhere to live. Not a lot. Saying, well, it's not big enough. Well, cut the trees down. Make it big. Get more territory. Matter of fact, you can go ahead on and whoop the Canaanites. But why didn't they go and fight the Canaanites? Why? Can't anybody tell me that?
Because they were giants.
No, not all of them. They was afraid of them. Mm-hmm. They was afraid of the Canaanites, true enough. But, huh? What'd you say, Lisa? A prophet heard?
Oh, nothing. I'm sorry. I'm trying to just read.
They were the reason why they did not go and fight the Canaanites was because they was used to God fighting, sinning, and helping. All the miracles and stuff God would do with them when they would fight these different countries or nations or people. They was used to God stepping in. And God saying, no, y'all going to do this. You all are gotten more than they do. You are stronger than they are. And you're afraid. You're afraid. And I'm here. I'm here. I'm not going to do anything. I'm here. That's why I know sometimes. God does miracles, signs, and wonders. But sometimes God wants us to step out and do what we got to do. And he'll push us. He'll help us. But they didn't do nothing. They didn't do nothing. They didn't do nothing, but they backed up. They had to live with the Canaanites. They had to live even over in chapter 18 where Prophetess Morton was reading, or was I reading it, about where they lived at, who was living with them was the Megadudes and all of them. Them people, those were people that was worshiping idols. I can't really find it out. Oh, here it is. Here it is in chapter 17, verse 11. It says that Manasseh had in Asher, Bethshean, and her towns in Ibleam, in her towns and the inhabitants of Dor, that's a witch, in her towns and inhabitants of Endor, that's a witch, in her towns and the inhabitants of Tanach, in her towns and the inhabitants of Megiddo, in her towns, even these three countries, Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were so waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. You know, they call themselves scaring them and trying to tell them some, but they still could not drive, couldn't drive them out. They couldn't do it. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given us me but one lot portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord have blessed me hitherto. Yeah, God did bless them. Yeah, but I don't know why they couldn't put the Canaanites out. And as they were willing to stay and pay tribute, see, they paid. That's what that means, tribute. They paid to stay there. But they should have put them out. And as they were willing to pay tribute, and the others chose to tolerate them on those terms that they agreed to dwell together, but this paying of tribute seemed not to have taken place till some time after, when the children of Israel were waxing strong. They were strong. They could have put them out, but they was paying the money, and they was taking the money. So they was going to tolerate them, but God said, possess the land, to take the land. And that's still disobedient. That's still being disobedient. They did not take that land. They stayed there with those pagan folks worshiping other sun gods and all that kind of stuff. That's what they did. But Joshua was stayed on him. He was firm with him. He said, no, you either going to go cut that wood, those trees down, or y'all just going to be on the edge, a tip or something. And see, back then, that slothfulness, whatever that is, was natural to man. And it requires much training and enticing for man to work, or for them to work for just to eat, because they were slow for them. They were just laying around and all that, because God had been helping them so much in doing miracles and opening up seas and letting Joshua whoop all these different countries and stuff like that. They was just sitting back waiting on God to do it. God said no. Said no. Mm-hmm. So in chapter 18, at that point, it was seven tribes that had not received their inheritance. And in the center of town, the town of Shiloh, about 15 miles from Jerusalem, in the tribe of Ephraim, and in the center of the whole land, both the camp of Israel and the Ark of the Lord. That's where the Ark of God was, right there in the center of Shiloh. And they put it right there so everybody could come worship. Every tribe had access to God as close as they was permitted to get to the Ark of the Covenant. But they could go up and knew that God was sitting on the mercy seat right there. Mm-hmm. But see, it was no resistance to the Israelites' arms. God had to help them for so long. They did not try to take the land. They didn't even try to take it. Why come they couldn't get this land? Why? They didn't even try to do it. And whenever they went out to battle, they didn't even try. They didn't even want to. They wanted God to do it miraculously. And that's when they had got the three men from each tribe that was active in war, and it was the military guard. So it was 21 men altogether in the military guard that they wanted to send them out, but they weren't even trying to fight. I'm just telling you, they was waiting on God to do what he do. And God was saying, nope, you're going to have to get out. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to go into battle. These are your enemies. I do not want you living and dwelling among the Canaanites. He didn't want that. God did not want that for them. God didn't want that for them. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments? Do everybody understand everything? Pretty much. Do you have some kind of understanding?
I think so, pretty much.
Some of it is a little bit unclear, I guess, for me, with the different tribes or Manasseh and what he did and Joseph, and I know that Joshua was over them, and I guess some of it is just fuzzy in knowing the role of Canaanites and what they did, and this one a lot. It was just a little bit.
Well, the Canaanites, according to the ancient text, let me just see who the word of God say. The Canaanites were people who lived in the land of Canaan, in the area which, according to ancient text, may have included part of Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. Much of what scholars know about the Canaanites come from records left by the people they came into contact with. But the Canaanites were named Canaanites because they lived in Canaan, in the land of Canaan. Next to that were the giants. Some more land was for the giants, but not that. The Canaanites were not giants. They lived next to the giants. Canaanites were actually made up of different ethnical groups. Canaan was not made up of a single ethnical group, but it was a consisting of a lot of different backgrounds and races. It was diversity of people. But they were God back over in Genesis. He considered them as heathen, and he didn't want the Israelites at that time to be around them. There was a lot of harlots and prostitutes and all kind of stuff going on, and he didn't want the tribes, the 12 tribes, to get involved with the men and all them sons they had to get involved, even though some of them did. But, he didn't want them to. I don't want you to get too confused about it, because it's a lot, especially when you didn't start from Genesis like we did. Because I remember about the Canaanites and how God kept trying to block the Israelites from even messing with them, because he said they were a heathen nation and they served pagan gods. They had idol gods. And so he told them, don't marry them. Abraham, who was up there? Abraham. And it was Abraham. Yeah, and Isaac and them was telling them, don't marry none of them because they were heathen, and that they didn't think the child would get an inheritance if they married any of the Canaanites, because they would have them worshiping their God. They would have to. You know, if your wife asks you to do something, most of the time you're going to do it. Especially when they think they worshiping a God. So that was the difference right there. Joseph wasn't with the Canaanites. He was against the Canaanites because the Canaanites are heathen. They're not with the children of Israel. But Israel, the children of Israel, were supposed to take the land from them, and they gave them some money. They forgot about it. Forget it. We'll live with them. Give us this money. Mm-hmm. So that's what that was. But all those different races of the Canaanites, they worship idol gods. They didn't believe in the Father. They didn't believe in God. They worship other gods. That's the difference. They were heathen. Any more questions or comments? And I just want to make sure you all got something out of it. Just, you know, something. Mm-hmm. That's why I took the time last night and this morning to kind of go, because I knew that it was going to be this land and about the lots and stuff and all these names, and you had to go slow with it, because one child had five boys and the other child had five girls. And that's why that girl was asking her dad for part of the inheritance. Last chapter. But I had never seen that done or heard of it being done. I thought the men always got the inheritance. Mm-hmm.
Right, but I thought we had just read up on it. I can't remember.
It was last chapter. It was 15, 16.
Yeah, it was either Numbers or Deuteronomy, where one of the persons had all daughters, and you know, if the father died, where do
that's
they
right.
go? And one of the girls
that's
was
right.
like, he don't have no son, so can I have my daddy stuck? Basically,
that's
and
right.
then.
Right.
Moses made it to where, right? So it didn't get established. I guess you had to ask it again.
Well, no, no, it was
established. Land. I was listening to her, and I said, I think this is the section where they're deciding where their land is.
Yeah,
it's like the fulfillment of.
Yeah, it's about the lot, the distribution, dividing the lot. Because right there in 18, it says seven more tribes hadn't got their inheritance, the lot. And it's only because they have not taken the land. It's only because they had not taken the land. And so God was waiting on them to take that land so they can get their lot, their inheritance. I just sit there and prayed and asked God to help me with it. It wasn't too bad and hard to understand. You just had to concentrate on it because, you had to focus and kind of remember, like I said, Prophetess Brown, you wasn't with us when we started from the beginning. So a lot of that stuff, like Prophetess Morton was saying, you missed, you know, because, and I think you was with us then, weren't you? About in Deuteronomy.
At the end of Deuteronomy.
Oh, okay. Okay. But, I mean, we're going to keep going. I mean, it's good to always have a Bible study. Some people say, you know, different things, but God told me to study his word, and that's what I'm doing. We can talk about and study other stuff some other time, but we need to know the word of God because people perish for the lack of knowledge. We need to know what this word says so we can do it, you know, do what we're supposed to do. And when we don't do it, that's when I know that God knows that we're messing up willingly because we know the word. And we study it all the time. So it's a good thing to study the word of God. I thank and praise God that we can. But, yeah. It's good if anyone have anything else because it's about 23 after now. And it's been good. I read some commentary to really help me with it as well. But I was getting a good understanding just reading it. Now, all those names, I don't really focus on those names. I used to try to keep up with the genealogy, but I stopped. It was getting too many. It was too many for me. So I got that book, Who is Who. I go in there and look if I need to know somebody. Mm-hmm. But it started getting a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for you all. I thank God for the leadership class on last night. We had such a good time in that leadership class. And God bless us, and it's every Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. By the grace of God and everything. So if it's nothing else, on Tuesday, it would be 19 and 20. We only have, let's see how many chapters we have, 24 chapters, and I think I sent everybody Judges, the book of Judges. If I did not send it to you, just let me know and I will email it to you. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yeah. Let me see what's next. I think it's Judges. Yeah. And after Judges, Ruth. I thought I sent everybody Judges and Ruth. And if I did not, let me know I will send it because we need to know this stuff. Mm-hmm, the word of God.
I think I need it, Apostle Dr. Jabra.
You don't have it? It's probably.
I was just looking at okay. My email. I didn't see it.
I mean, I sent it about 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. Let me go back and look then. I thought you meant separation. Oh, okay.
Oh, no. I sent it about 2 months ago before we started Joshua. Before we started in the book of Joshua, I sent it to everybody. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if you can't find it, I will send it to you.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Okay.
So anyway, we're going to get ready to go. And on Tuesday, like I said, we'll get back with it on Monday morning. You know, we have our wake-up call on Tuesday. We have Bible class on Wednesday, leadership on Thursday. We have Bible class on Friday. We have praise, prayer, and prophecy. And we have our worship on Sunday. And that's good. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for just your time, God. I thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone that's listening, everyone that's here under the sound of my voice. I ask you, God, to cover them in the blood of Jesus, encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I ask you on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to just send your angels, God, to every one of them, God. Send your angels and activate them, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I just ask you right now to cover Apostle Deans and touch him right now in the name of Jesus. And everyone, every member of this ministry, of this church, God, I ask you right now to bless and cover them. Thank you for your word, God. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Oh, God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming and supporting. I love you all. You all have a good night. I'll be back on in the morning, bright and early for the morning wake-up call. God bless you. Have a good night.
Love you.
Love
you. Good night.
Love you all.